The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 524. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Adam Vail.
How you doing?
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Monjoma.
What's up?
All right, guys, you already know. Back with another one. No Chris action. And no bread action. So we're going to get right into it. By the way, this is an interesting week. Even though we have a good amount of stories, I wouldn't really call any of them except for like our main one, megatons. Some of them aren't even microtons. They're just interesting. Interesting. Yeah. What's going on, Dio? He goes, what's good, Throwdown crew? You already know, man. If you guys in the chat think I missed any stories, let me know, because I went through, the Discord as always, and I picked out what I thought was the most interesting stuff, because there was a lot of stuff. I was like, okay, whatever, but let's get to the wildest story of the week. Monster Hunter Wilds in 3 days has already sold 8 million copies. Fucking crazy. Like, that's already beyond, I think World didn't even hit 8 million in 3 days, so pretty good stuff there. I don't know what the distribution is. I'm going to assume most of the people are playing it on. Oh, here he goes. 5 million is what Monster Hunter World sold in that amount of time. So this is already a big, huge hit. And like I was going to say, I'm curious to hear the distribution. How many people are playing on what consoles and stuff.
Well, I'm curious to hear from anyone who's playing it on PC, because all I hear are complaints.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not working. This doesn't work. This looks like crap. Oh, where's my butter game? Because it's not this. It's not Spider-Man 2 either. Oh.
It's another patch.
Is coming. But yeah, so anybody here playing? Brian, you're a PC guy.
Not even Brian.
No, he's on PS5.
Oh, snap. All right.
That yeah.
Who's playing on an Xbox?
Brett.
Whoa.
Yeah.
that was good.
Yeah. When we streamed with him on Friday, he was playing on his Xbox, and it was pretty good actually. The crossplay stuff.
The crossplay is pretty stamped solid.
Yeah. But Brian, what are your thoughts on Monster Hunter World Wild selling so much in 3 days? I know other games, Brian, that haven't sold that many.
It just speaks for itself. Like, this is what happens when there's a development company that takes the feedback of what people wanted and gave them what they wanted. It sells, which for some reason is a big shocker, but here we are. This is current day thinking. It's great. I think it's fantastic. They definitely deserve all the praise that they're getting, because they did what people should do, which is you make a game, you iterate it, make it better based on what people like and don't like. I mean, people said that, oh yeah, we don't like the handler, she doesn't seem to do anything. So the main is that the handler actually does stuff. The handler will collect items, will walk around, take notes. So they feedback on it, which is fantastic. So, yeah, great. Hopefully it goes on to be the biggest selling Monster Hunter ever after, surpassing World.
Yeah.
Only time will tell, but I'm sure it will.
Dude, it was hilarious. Go ahead.
I got a question for Brian. Shout out to Brian, who played with us in the Throwdown
streams.
But he wasn't on the Throwdown Your Question show where we talked about the game. So I'm actually curious,
yes,
because I don't think we talked to Brian about this. Brian, speaking of current day questions, what are your thoughts on the whole debacle? Well, not even debacle. It's just more of like the discussion about the difficulty of the game. Because I know it's something that we've been talking a lot during the Throwdown Your Questions episode. A lot of people have been talking about that, and it's sort of a detriment to the game, at least for the hardened Monster Hunters.
I think it's actually mostly fine. Yes, it it does seem easier. And even as I'm trying to factor out my knowledge of the game in like in general, the game does seem to be easier through the story. But I think that's on purpose, so that it gets you to the end game itself. And I think that's where the difficulty spikes will be.
Not really, to be honest. Which
I'm hoping.
Yeah, you'll see, Brian, but I got through the whole game, not really.
No, but like the end game as in when you unlock all the monsters and all the quests. And
I'm talking about that, yeah. And also? Yep. Like I said, I only carded three times the entire time. I beat the whole thing. And I was assuming that the quote-unquote final boss I beat was not the end. No, it actually was.
Mm-hmm.
Again, yeah, the monsters do get tougher, but I only carded. Granted, those three times I carded was in the end game. Actually, excuse me. One time in the main low rank fucking Gormagala, and then twice in the end game. Also one time with Gormagala, that motherfucker, you know? But the rest, not too bad in my opinion. But I even though it is kind of disappointing, I don't mind it too much because I'm still having a blast with the game, you know? But it is interesting. Like, for example, shout out to Gary Swaby. He's a Monster Hunter, like, newbie, more or less. He's playing Wilds. Like, he played some of World, but he didn't play it too much. So he's playing Wilds, and he's like, yo, this shit is mad easy. Even Gary's saying that, you know? I mean, granted, Gary's really good at video games, but there are certain people that are using cheat codes, but we're not going to talk about that, you know? But yeah, Brian, but what are your thoughts overall? Because, you know, may as well, again, the topics we got today are okay, you know, because we kind of gave our overall thoughts on the game on Sunday, or at least the guys who didn't review it, namely me and Rich didn't give our thoughts, everybody else did. So what do you think of the game overall, you know, what you played?
Well, the fact that I wasn't there on Sunday, it tells you all you need
yes.
to know. as you probably... I'm sure Tony has said I haven't seen the episode yet, but yeah, I just crashed out playing it, so I couldn't attend the show. The game is great. I don't have many quarrels really. I don't know if it's a me thing or whatever, but it really does look washed out, and I can't seem to fix it, and it's really annoying. But overall, yeah, the game is quite fun. The story is a story this time. Fun. Characters, no real qualms with them. You could say the child is annoying, but then most children in video games are annoying. I think Clementine's probably like the only child in a video game that I didn't find annoying. So again, it's a very high bar to meet. Yeah, the game is fun. Again, I disagree with how they changed the insect glaive, but it seemed like every weapon got weird changes, and I disagree how buffed the longsword got, because it was already quite buffed anyway, and I'm sorry, I see the longsword as like super training wheels now, so it's just frustrating to me. It's like
you
it's
and your baby swords
weapon. it was already a simple enough weapon to use, and then they just seem to have just given it extra wheels. It's like why give that wheels and everything else gets weird, like nerfed. I think the bow is in a good place. I liked how they like removed all the ammo and made it into like a charge meter so you can reuse, which is great. No more having to rebuild. Yeah, I think the game's good. Obviously, I just hit the credits this evening. So yeah. I'm just about to start the end game properly. So see what that is and see what the event quest will be. I'm eager to see what the Elder Dragons would be for this one. Usually that's when the fun starts. And then see what they do with events and crossover, because that's also something that they do very well. And yeah, so far so good. Looking forward to the grind of the decorations, so that's gonna be fun. And yeah, this is what I wanted from the sequel. It's just world, but more. Can't argue with that.
Yeah, Assyrian Air Force, he's asking, was World on the same engine? No, that was on MT Framework. This one is on the RE engine. Pretty much all Capcom games are on RE engine now.
Yeah, they moved everything over. Even the other Monster Hunter game for Switch was on it too.
Yeah, I think that was the first Monster Hunter on RE engine. Rise?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Rise.
Manny, what were you going to say about the graphics, as you were like muted when you responded to that?
Oh, it was. I was going to say that you can adjust the gamma on the game. and it gets it to look pretty good. Like don't use the sets that they, you know, that you can adjust the thing to, like, oh hey, set it to like where it's this or set it to where it's that. Darkened it and lightened it a little bit, and I got it to look pretty solid. But in general, the game does have a bit of a washed out, dusty feel to it, just for the plain fact it kind of does take place in a dusty, deserty place. But,
well, that for part, Manny. I don't know if you noticed this. The game has this weird effect. It looks like a camera effect where it's like kind of brighter in the middle. The reason I bring this up is our boy Maximilian dude was playing with a mod that removed that, and the game looked a lot better, you know?
Yeah, it's sort of replicating like a camera's, like, you know how on some cameras where it just get a little darker and it's, you know, centers out everything as opposed to blowing out everything. But there's a lot of like post-processing effects that are on the game that people are not such big fans of.
They don't let you turn that stuff off, like,
unfortunately. No, you can't.
Yeah, they don't.
That camera thing, you can't turn it off.
That and usually there's a, you know, a lot of games have the you know, along with the motion blur, which I don't see any motion blur in that game.
It is there. You could turn that off.
You could turn it off, but I don't mind motion blur. There's chromatic aberration, which is the best way to explain it is it's a section of when you're filming something, it's a section at the sides where the camera is slightly out of focus. It depends on the lens. So some popular games that have used it is like Nier Automata. If you look at the edges, it's a little bit blurrier on the edges. That's what chromatic aberration is. It sort of it separates, essentially, it's a weird color separation blur that happens at the edges of a lens. So, but that thing can also, you know, post-processing effects like that can be pretty expensive sometimes and can also hamper performance. So a lot of times, you know, especially on the PC versions, people just turn off chromatic aberration and, you know, adjust the ambient and occlusion and all kinds of other things. But yeah, the game does have quite a bit of post-processing effects on it that people are not big fans of.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, you know, I'm very impressed by the sales numbers. I'm assuming it's going to keep going up. They already have like their first big content drop happening in April. New monsters are coming, and they promised monsters that are like beyond tempered. So I'm guessing it's going to be the really big, beefy monsters everybody wants, you know? So I think that's good. It'll even everything out. But yeah, the game's just fun, man. It's just like Brian said, developers listen to feedback and to give people what they want. No bullshit, you know? So congrats there. Right, anybody else want to say anything else about Monster Hunters? Actually, wait, one more thing. That's what I wanted to say. I almost forgot. So kind of to prove a point. So today at work, we were discussing, like, you know, what games we should benchmark this year. And I brought up Monster Hunter. I'm like, hey, does Monster Hunter have any benchmark tools? Sure enough, it does, right? And they were like, oh, because again, you know, some of the guys testing aren't gamers like I am. And they're like, oh, is the game popular? I'm like, dude, this shit sold 8 million. And I was like, let me show you how popular this is. I went to Steam, charts, or Steam DB, one of them, just to see how many players were currently playing at that moment. I'm not kidding you. It was 1.1 million at that moment when I decided to check. And, our tester was like, okay, I'll buy that game for us and we're gonna start testing it, because again, that game's kind of, it's weird because like the recommended specs for it aren't exactly demanding, but it seems like you need a really, really good PC to run that properly. So it'll be kind of cool to start using that in my testing now. But yeah, I just find it funny about, like, you know, I'll show you how popular this is. I'm expecting there to be like maybe 600,000 people playing or something. I figure it's Thursday, no one's playing again. A million fucking people, bro. A million people. So it keeps rising up. And remember, the highest concurrent players was 1.3 million. Last time I checked, maybe it went up higher, you know? And also, the game... Okay, tying in a couple of things. So Japan just launched a new, like, PS5 rental program where you could actually rent PS5s. All the PS5s are already rented out because everybody's playing Monster Hunter. And currently, this game is the highest selling game in Japan, which is big because PS5 was not a big selling system. But now the system's selling like crazy over there. Isn't that something?
So wait, this rental system, how does that work?
You rent the console. You rent the console.
Are you renting it online, or is there like a storefront that you can go in?
I don't know. I'm assuming a store, but I don't quote me on that.
Yeah, because I mean, like getting that in the mail and then the shipping and stuff, that can't be cheap.
You probably have to go to a store. That's what I'm assuming. I could be wrong. But yeah, pretty crazy. So now PS5 is selling really well in Japan. The rental service, they're all out of PS5 stock already, like a day after launching. Maybe they coincided with Monster Hunter. Who knows? So pretty incredible stuff. And again, if you give people a good game, they will play it. You know, Helldivers is an example. Warhammer is an example. No bullshit. Here's the good game. People like it. And that's that. We need more of that in the industry.
You see this, it also hurts because then it points again, what's making it popular? It's a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
It's a co-op multiplayer game. And yeah, a lot of people don't want their single player stuff. But look, games like this and others that you mentioned, this is what brings in the money because it brings in the people. When people come together, then they hang out together and then they will normally buy microtransactions together to continue playing.
And also, I would also have to say Monster Hunter is probably the most most popular game in Japan compared to something like a Dragon
Quest. Yeah, Dragon Quest is probably more popular, but yes, you're right. Monster Hunter, just like Dragon Quest, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. When the game comes out, it's a national holiday over there, basically. Motherfuckers just take off. Yeah. That's why we talked about this, too. The company that makes the Pow World game, forgot the name of the company, they gave their developers the day off Friday because of Monster Hunter. Like, because so many of them were already, quote unquote, calling in sick. They're like, okay, just take the day off, guys. You know? Although I'm pretty sure it's some field work, too. It's like, hey, we already ripped off a Pokemon. Look at Monster Hunter. What can we rip off of that? But yeah, it's a national holiday over there too, just like Dragon Quest. Dragon Quest game drops, Japan's off that day. It's crazy.
I can't wait for Pow Wilds.
Pow Wilds. Yeah, we had Pow World and we had Pow Wilds.
I'm jealous now. I miss that feeling. That feeling of like, man, I have to play it. It doesn't happen for me. Maybe because I'm older. I don't know, but it's been a while. Probably like Halo 3 is the only time I could remember staying up, doing the midnight launch at a GameStop, picking it up, jumping on with all my buddies. We called out so that way we can just play it on Legendary all the way through, finished at 8 in the morning, the campaign.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, that was it.
Yeah, and a lot of people were doing this for this game. They were taking the day off. Yeah. Some dude took the week off, you know? Like, this shit is serious, man. Go ahead. Yeah. Rich, go ahead, bro.
I just have a question for Adam. So Adam, you're telling me that you're not going to do a midnight launch party when Fable comes out next year?
That comment right there is a Fable. There's no way. No, thank you. No. You know what? No, I was going to say something, and it's not true. Because there's no way. I was like, well, maybe with the Gears Collection that they just announced. And I'm like, no, because I'm already replaying that, and I played it so many damn times. I don't see myself getting wild by it. Maybe for Gears 6, if it does have co-op, if it brings back what Gears 3 did, where you had 4-player co-op, that would be great. Get some people together and we all play.
Not Carlos though.
Carlos, he'll jump in and out. He'll jump in and out.
Yeah.
No, it's more like you'll leave me behind.
No. Yeah.
I think we.
Dio says the last midnight launch that he attended was GTA 5 at 14th Street in Union Square. Was that Virgin Megastore by any chance? I don't know if Virgin Megastore was around at that time.
Probably was. Or it probably was, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. What happened?
Just to go because it links with that. Well, Manny knows Jamal. Remember, this is a Grand Theft Auto 5. I remember it was on 86th Street near Lex. And we waited online, right, in the midnight launch. But they had a big display. Glass display with the game and a box and the whole thing. And he was like, hey, what are you going to do with this? Like, oh, we're going to trash it once this whole thing is over. And he took it. Took this huge, massive display and brought it to his apartment. But
That's funny. Yeah. Dio says it was at the GameStop.
Still has it.
It was at the GameStop. I do remember there was a GameStop down there. That's right.
Yeah, there was a GameStop.
Yeah.
There was a... Yeah. I know it. It was near the... Right next to the Starbucks.
Yep.
It was when it was right next to the Starbucks.
It was right there, yeah. And Dio, fun fact, GTA 5 was also the last midnight launch I did. And possibly Manny, I'm not sure, because we were both there that night. We were just starting out of STF and Play, and we were interviewing people on the line. Yep. You know, remember that, Manny? That was kind of fun. It was, you know, the GameStop on 71st and Continental.
I would say the last midnight launch I did was Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was GameStop was still doing them at that point, and I went over there, waited on a little line, and got Kingdom Hearts 3. So yeah,
yeah.
FIFA 14 on Steinway.
Oh wow, okay.
Queens.
Yeah,
and went to that one because that one was
Steinway's right over there. It's not that far from me now.
It wasn't. Yeah, and that one, I was so crazy when I lived over there. There was two of them. Right, like a block away from each other, but on Steinway, one on one side of the street, the other like half a block down. So I remember going to, and it was cool. They had a DJ. They moved all the racks that were in the middle to the side, and they set up little goals, and people were just playing. We started playing indoor soccer, waiting for this to launch.
That's funny, man. You know, a little bit of an aside here. I remember years ago, me, Manny, Chris, and your cousin, Danny, I believe, we went to go see Expendables at Astoria Theater. And I remember it took us a long time to drive there, right? And now the ironic part, I went to go see King Kong vs. Godzilla 2 at that same theater. Mm-hmm. I walked there 10 minutes away from me now. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's not that far.
Yeah. But it was like
Circuit City still there?
Circuit City, I don't remember if it was there. Manny had Applebee's that we ate afterwards. It's still there, you know?
Mm-hmm. That was like right across the street.
Yeah,
because that's the thing. Right there was a Circuit City, right? Or I think that was a Circuit City. Or was it some other? There was an electronics store there. And then right behind is the movie theater. And then across the street, that Applebee's. The
Applebee's, yeah. But yeah, your cousin was there. Cool guy, you know? It was a good night. Yeah. Monster Hunter World, if you don't already have it, go play it. It's fun. Like Adam said, co-op, baby. You know, it makes a difference.
It makes a difference. It's something about it. It's fun to play with everybody, especially if it's a co-op that carries over. Now, does that happen with you guys? Do you have a progression that carries over? Like, let's say you decide to play single player by yourself. Can you continue, or does it throw you back at the beginning?
Because
it
was like, No. Doesn't do that. Because it's all very mission-based, you know, so you just pick up where you left off. You know, and if you want, you can go into other people's missions. And if you do the same mission as someone else, you would progress your own shit. You know, it doesn't throw you back. Yeah, no, it's all very seamless.
Yeah. Like Division.
But don't that's seamless, but getting together in a party, not so seamless. Like I said, I think in many ways, Japanese game developers are better than Western game developers. But Western game developers have online down way better than Japanese because it's so hard to just get together. You know, like with random people, it's easy. Just throw up a flare. In the game, you could throw up a flare and then people could join your game. But like just making a group together for your friends, pain in the fucking ass. And this is not something that's exclusive to Mars Hunter. Every fucking Japanese game we play is like that, you know? But hopefully I'll get better. Co-op is far better than live service multiplayer. I agree with that. I agree with that for sure. Dio says the Virgin Megastore. He was at the Virgin Megastore for Metal Gear Solid 4. Manny and I did that for Bandai launch as well.
Yep, but we were
we were in Queens. Then didn't we get Brutal Legend that day too?
No, it wasn't.
Or was it?
That was Uncharted.
For Uncharted,
it was Uncharted. Uncharted. Brutal Legend and Uncharted came out the same day.
Yeah, because I remember we got Brutal Legend as the quote unquote second game. Like, this kind of looks cool. But the main game everybody was there for was Uncharted. Was it 2, Manny, or 3?
No, it was Uncharted 2.
Only it's New York stores. We were so spoiled. Think about it. All these stores open 24/7.
That's it, bro.
Big stores. Like I remember with me and the same cousin Daniel, we were at my place when I was living in Harlem, and we were bored. It was like 2:30 in the morning. And he's like, wasn't there a Halo game that came out? I was like, oh, yeah.
Halo stories.
We went out. We called a cab. You know, hailed a yellow cab. Went to the Toys R Us that was over on 42nd Street.
It was Times Square.
The Times Square one. 24/7. Went upstairs, picked it up, got another cap, went back, 3:30 in the morning, we're playing Halo Wars. Yeah. Where else can you do that?
That's right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Picked up some crack on the way, too.
Right, yeah, you get some crack rocks.
You get all that shit in New York, baby.
Everything. Anytime, any hour.
That's crazy. Yeah, again, you can't do that in a place, you know?
It sort of changed, yeah.
Yeah.
It sort of changed now. A lot of places don't stay open nearly anymore.
Pendejos.
You know, well, those places are gone, but think about that. Toys R Us is gone. The Virgin Megastore, both of them, Times Square and
Gone. Man, every time I pass by Union Square, bro, I get upset, man. Yeah. You know, because I used to be the spot. Remember, Manny, all the time we were there, you know? Not only just for albums, but like every time we would like go to Irving Plaza for a concert, like let's hit up the Virgin Megastore for a little bit, you know? Good stuff. All right. Any last comments?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Just because I thought I'd check it out on SteamDB.
Yes.
Monster Hunter Wild is currently listed as being the fifth highest all-time peak on Steam.
Fuck.
Which is quite impressive if you consider that the games that beat it are Counter-Strike 2, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Black Myth Wukong,
Power
World, and PUBG.
Wow, that's impressive.
Oh, gee.
That's crazy. It's beat out Dota 2, Cyberpunk, Elden Ring, Hogwarts Legacy, Baldur's Gate, Marvel Rivals, and Path of Exile 2.
Wow, that's impressive.
GTA 5?
GTA 5's not even on there. Oh, yeah, by the way, Brian, thank you for reminding me. Steam hit an all-time high of 40 million concurrent players at one time. Like, that's crazy. And they said it attributed to Monster Hunter. You know,
but then why are people complaining that it plays so bad on PC? It clearly not bad enough because people are playing it.
Here's my theory, and I don't want to diminish what anybody's experience on PC because those are real issues. But you know, usually the people are having those problems are the loudest, right? But at the same time, Capcom, to quote Snoop Dogg, "Fix your shit." You can't be doing that, bro. You can't be doing that. But because again, and that's why I didn't get it on PC. I had, you know, Spider Sense off. Like Capcom just usually has a bad record for this stuff. But yeah, I think those people are actually obviously, you know, voicing their opinions. But it's still not an excuse, bro. You got to fix your shit, man. But if you're on console, you're good.
But yeah, I didn't hear Spider-Man 2 on that list that Brian just rattled off. So
yeah, well, no co-op. You know, I think all those games Brian mentioned, I believe they're all multiplayer of some type.
Apart from Black Myth?
Black Myth, yes. That's the only exception.
Well, in the top 10, the non-multiplayer, so non-co-op and non-PvE, is Black Myth, Cyberpunk, and Elden Ring.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, even though Elden Ring, you know, kind of co-op.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Well, you got to give your flowers or something to call people.
Yeah, Elden Ring, I would consider it. Multiplayer co-op. I mean, that's how I played most of the game with Carlos and Chris and Brett, you know? Oh, man. All right, let's move on. This is actually bad news. PlayStation has been hit with layoffs, man. Another one, you know?
States or overseas? I didn't see this one.
I'll read this.
Is it everywhere?
Yeah. It's from a studio here in America. So I'm going to read this from Kotaku. They're actually the ones that broke the story. The PlayStation-owned studio Visual Arts was hit with fresh layoffs this week amid a further restructuring of Sony's U.S. game development operations. While some of the cuts included staff who had contributed to recently canceled projects like an upcoming live service game at Bend Studio, a source told Kotaku the layoffs were more widespread than that. Earlier this week, an unknown number of staff at the Visual Arts group based out of San Diego were informed that their last day at Sony would be March 7th. Which would be tomorrow or today. The team provides internal art and technical support to first-party PlayStation studios and worked closely with Naughty Dog on the recent Last of Us Part 1 and Part 2 remasters along with other projects. Sony did not immediately respond to a request for a comment. So here's one of the people that worked at the studio said, it was tough waking up to messages that many friends and former co-workers from PSVA were laid off this morning. That's former PSVA project manager Abby Lemaster, now at Riot Games. Okay, so she got a job. That's good. The layoffs today hit hard. PSVA let go of developers with decades of subject matter, expertise, talent that will be extraordinarily difficult to recoup. This industry can be unpredictable, but the skill, expertise, and passion of the people, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and Kotaku goes on to say, and I agree with them on this one. Believe it or not, I agree with Kotaku. This is more of a result of what happened with Concord. They lost so much money with that game. They need to, they're just cutting everywhere they can, you know? Pretty upsetting stuff. You know, the industry continues to bleed. Go ahead, Manny.
The thing about it is, it's like, you know, I'm hoping that these layoffs are not just random.
Yeah.
Like, they're legitimately looking at the things that these people offer and trying to keep the ones that really are important around. Because, you know, you hear about stuff like this from Microsoft, where it's just like they just start blowing off people because of, you know, how much they get paid or how much this or that, as opposed to legitimately looking into what the things that, what things they offer. You know, that's a bunch of lost knowledge within their own studio. And that's something they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. There's something I want to say on that, but just real quick here. The latest cuts at the PlayStation Studios Visual Arts Group follows an emerging trend of game companies pulling back development resources from expensive U.S.-based offices. Last year, during a business briefing, Riku's favorite guy, Herman Holtz, said there had been pressure on the cost side, as Sony laid off hundreds amid spiraling first-party blockbuster game development budgets. Yeah, like Concord, you know? So it's crazy. I was watching this video, and they brought up this concept I hadn't thought about. It's called brain drain. Basically, you lose a lot of people that used to know how to do certain things within game development. And then the people they get to replace them don't really know what the hell they're doing. Look at Assassin's Creed. Apparently it's all new people. All the old guys are all gone, you know, and nobody, they really have any kind of mentorship or anything.
I feel like that happens at a lot of companies. A lot of companies do that, because then the older ones, obviously with the experience and the years there, usually are the ones that are getting paid the most.
Yeah.
So it's easier to like, oh, we'll bring in some new guys. All right. Did you figure out everything that George is doing? Yeah. I pretty much did. Okay. Hey, George, can we talk?
Yeah.
You know, that's how that works.
You're 100% right about that. And the thing it was a YouTube video, and they were saying how, even though there obviously are some game developers that go, okay, I'm going to make my own studio. Typically, these guys, they decide to work in some other field. Carlos, you talked about this before, where, you know, game development isn't as quote unquote sexy now. So it's like, okay, I'm going to go to another field where I can make money, you know? So that's happening. So all that talent and experience is just gone, you know?
And also, it doesn't help that the job security isn't that, you know, well established in the gaming industry.
Yeah, there is no security.
There is no security, you know, but you don't really see that. Go ahead, Brian.
Funny thing, you actually bring that up, because I've been hearing that's why lots of studios are moving over to Unreal 5 rather than the in-house engines, because of that very reason. Because all the people that were there that made the engine, that know, well, they made the damn thing, that know how it works, they're probably not there anymore. So it's probably easier to get people in that know how to use a generic engine like Unreal. Hence, that's why people like CD Projekt, Halo Studios, and others have moved to Unreal Engine 5 because it's just there.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. You're right. It's like, use the generic engine because the guys who built the original aren't around anymore and didn't teach anybody. Exactly. You know, that's fuck. Yeah,
it's, you know, a lot of people are using stuff like, you know, Unreal Engine and or Unity. So you go with the commonly used engine because it's relatively easy to find, you know, find people that are really familiar, as opposed to somebody that's just fully developing an engine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's a double-edged sword where, you know, you can find a whole bunch of people. It's more uniform. It's easier to develop because most people are already familiar with Unreal, but it really, you know, on the other end, it can get rid of sort of the creativity and the uniqueness of some games use.
Yeah.
It's just, you're not going to Cyberpunk. I'm scared for Cyberpunk or whatever the sequel is, or even Witcher, because it's like that same engine, even though it was buggy as hell, it produced, its own unique flavor of a game. And hopefully the next one just doesn't have that tint of the same old type of Unreal game.
Yeah, which it will, you know, unfortunately. That's why it's good to have Capcom and the RE engine, for example. You know what an RE engine game is just by looking at it, you know? Yeah. Crazy shit, man. All right, moving on, another Sony-related story. Now, this one it's giving more credence to a theory of mine, and I believe some of you guys on this panel have it here, too. So Neil Druckmann was basically asked about, you know, the possibility of The Last of Us 3, and this is what he had to say. I was waiting for this question. I guess the only thing I can say is, don't bet on there being more Last of Us. This could be it. Now,
oh, come on.
So this way, I said this on the program, and this is just making me go, yeah, I think I'm going to write about this. I think now that Neil Druckmann got a taste of Hollywood, The Last of Us will continue, but not in video game form. It's going to just continue as a TV show. That's what I think is happening. Like, why bother making games when you can just, you know, do TV instead? You know,
it doesn't require all that time. You don't have to put years and stress and hundreds of hours in it.
Yeah, it's just faster to make them video games, you know? And so what do you guys think about that?
I mean, it's definitely a possibility that if this successful running show, just, you know, they want to continue going forward with it. And yeah, it only really takes about a year, 2 years to produce a chapter of The Last of Us TV series. So,
well, that's it. Make a whole. I could see HBO probably reached out and was like, you know what? Can you make a show? Just do a show. Just split all this up. Forget the game stuff. Can you just make something unique for us?
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I guess I can do that.
And the fact that we have like 5,000 Walking Dead shows means there's hunger for this type of stuff.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
We're not doing an I Am Joel podcast.
Yeah, anyway. Right.
I am Joel.
But I do want to mention, yeah, everyone mentions a good point and probably really true about what's the
Carlos,
situation.
Carlos, do you agree with all the points that have been said so far?
I do agree with everything that's been said. And I do want to mention that Neil Druckmann, like you guys mentioned, like Tony insinuated at the beginning of the statement, I'm pretty sure that he has that Hollywood bug where he wants to be more involved with Hollywood. He wants to be developing narratives that either get on the silver screen or somewhere else that Paramount Plus or wherever the hell people release.
Like your boy George R. R. Martin. Where's that other book? Oh,
It's like good old bug. It's like good old George. And I will say this also, the Last of Us story will probably be told from now on the TV screen on HBO. Yeah. But don't be surprised if a Last of Us 3 video game comes out after the TV show.
Based on the TV show.
Yes, because not only is it easy money for them, it's number one, two, and three, because it's easy money for them. And come on, these are the same people who did like three remasters for one game. You know, remasters, a remake, and whatever the hell they're doing with the two. And they're definitely going to make a Last of Us 3, and it's going to be based off of the TV show.
Yeah. Rich, you're going to say something?
Carlos took the words out of my mouth. I do agree with what you all said. Yeah, it can continue as far as the TV show is concerned. But I also saw today that they are also releasing a Last of Us controller. Did you see that as well today, Tony?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, so there you go. I know you already pre-ordered it, right, Rich?
Oh, hell no. Absolutely not. But I will be glad to pre-order a copy for Carlos for Christmas later this year.
Get that trash out of here.
But no, I agree that it can continue as a TV show. But I also think that it can possibly be a game much later, because if that intergalactic game does not take off, what is Naughty Dog going to work on next? You know, could they go back to Uncharted? I have no idea. So I kind of feel like they will see what happens. But yeah, for right now, we'll see everything on HBO, I feel.
Yeah, that's what I think is happening. Just a little correction. Carlos, you said that I insinuated that Neil Druckmann has the Hollywood bug. No, I'm flat out saying he does. No insinuation there. you know.
Well, it was insinuated before it was told.
Yeah, definitely. He's like, how do I put this delicately? He's like, because I still think this guy's going to make video games, so I want to say that. But he's like the American version of Hideo Kojima, I think.
He wants to be
big fucking deal.
Yeah, that's exactly. Oh man.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, and yeah, you're right. The Kojima stuff. Kojima has a harder barrier of entry just because of, you know, it's coming from, you know, an Eastern perspective in terms of how he was, you know, raised instead of Druckmann, who more in tune with American culture. So yeah, he's trying to be one of those crossovers that I'm pretty sure if you were to give him a truth serum, yeah, it's like he would want his resume to be known for being a director or
I agree.
A showrunner for a TV show as opposed to a video game director.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I think is happening, you know? So there you go. I don't really care anymore. I'm done with this franchise anyway. I thought The Last of Us 2 was not good. Overrated game. But yeah. Oh, by the way, before we move on real quick, Alexis/Paladino Revenge, he asked us the same question on both YouTube and Twitch. By the way, dude, I saw you the first time, but I'm not going to stop the show midway to answer a question. It's about the, you know, the main topic, you know, going back to Monster Hunter real quick. Do you think that due to the success of Monster Hunter, the Capcom will turn it into a live service game?
That is a phenomenal question.
It really is a phenomenal question. It already it is and it isn't at the same time. Like, they're gonna make stupid money off this. There actually is controversy with microtransactions. Like, the microtransactions cost a lot of money, and you need to pay. Like, if you want to redo your character over again, you gotta like actually pay money for that, which I think is bullshit. So they're already kind of dipping their toe in it. By the way, something I didn't know. Because it was released only in Japan, there actually was a Monster Hunter like MMO, you know. So Capcom has played with this idea before, but I don't. So they may do a spinoff that's like a live service game, but it won't be like an American live service game. I'll tell you that, you know. Especially if not if they're smart, smart. Just don't do dumb shit like that. Moving on here, Adam. This one's for you, man. Next story is for you, but keep in mind this is pure. It's a rumor, a huge rumor. I want to throw the salt on it, you know. But GameStop GameSpot, and various other, you know, main websites are reporting on it. So I felt okay, we could talk about it. They're saying that Gears of War Collection is coming to PS5 this year, and E-Day is coming next year.
Well,
what do you think?
They also said that it's coming to Xbox and PC. It's just throwing in PS5 as well. I saw that everywhere. It was like, oh yeah, kind of PS5, like, and not Xbox and PC. And then when you read the article, it's like, oh yeah, it is. But they know that that's gonna pop.
Yeah,
that it's on PlayStation. I don't care where it is. You know, I've been waiting for this collection for what, 2-3 years from when people that worked on a project started listing their credentials on LinkedIn. And so I knew it was out there. It was just, why is it taking so long? I just want to play it already. I hope it's not just a regular collection. Like, oh, we just took our old games and shoved them in this new menu system. And there you go. Now, do some touch-ups. That's what I'm hoping for. They're all cleaned up. Maybe made some quality of life improvements and stuff like that. But I'm not surprised about Resurgence being pushed off again because of when we found out afterwards of why it took so long and they were having development issues. They couldn't figure out the story. People left. You know, COVID happened. All these things that just slowed down production. So, yeah, that's fine. But if we can get that collection, that could definitely hold off a lot of people. Now, from what I'm hearing also, though, there's no multiplayer. Or at least it sounds like there's no talks of multiplayer. Like, it's just going to be the single player stuff. And I wonder how far that's going to go. Will it at least support co-op? Yeah, and if it does, that's great. But if it doesn't, that really hinders the whole idea of Gears, because it's all about the co-op experience. That's why we have Army of Two. Remember, Army of Two came out just because it was like, man, people really like playing with each other doing this. So I'm excited. I'm glad to see it's going to be played on all the platforms. Go ahead. Let people on PlayStation you know, play it. Mm-hmm. Everybody, let everybody play it. It's a game. It's a fantastic game. I love it, and we need more games like that. That type of genre of action. Let's do it.
But again, keep in mind that there's still a rumor right now. So I think the reason people are reporting on this is because this is coming from the same guy that quote unquote correctly reported that Forza Horizon 5 is coming to PS5. I say quote unquote because if you throw enough shit at a wall, something's gonna stick.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, I think this is another instance of like, hey, Gears of War is coming. Yeah, that's not much of a deductive reasoning right there, bro. If Forza already came, it's likely that fucking Gears of War. Hey, I'm going to go. Oh, you know what? I should tweet. Go on Twitter right now, bro. Yeah. Halo Collection confirmed for PS5.
So,
you know, I'll be right eventually, you know. That's like me saying it's going to rain, you know. It's like, yeah, of course it's going to rain, bro. Go ahead.
And the only question that comes up then is just, is it going to be day and date for all platforms, or are they going to pull like what they did with Indiana Jones? And
the tea leaves were like slapping you in the face.
See, there you go. Boop, boop.
You know, so, that's not all that was slapping you in the face.
That's it. That's not it. So, I mean, we definitely know it's going to be on Game Pass, and that's always a selling point. So if somebody complains to Phil or anybody, well, you did this. I was like, yeah, well, it's on Game Pass. You could just play it. But over there, they're going to have to buy it. Who knows how much they're going to charge? I'll probably charge more than 70 because as you see with this Tony Hawk, man, that news was good and bad. So
what's going on with Tony Hawk now?
They're bringing back 3 and 4 Tony Hawk. They're continuing on. Remember, Activision stopped. The original plan was after 1 and 2, and that was a success. They were going to have the same team work on 3 and 4, but then they took that team off and put them on Call of Duty. So
okay,
they pretty much got scrapped. But now Microsoft owns Activision, and they sent out that video that came out, and was like, oh yeah, 3 and 4 is coming, and it's going to have new music, some added music, and all this stuff. But then they showed there was like 3 different price tiers.
Oh. It's
like $50, $70, $100-something. I think the $100-something one actually comes with a physical board, you know? So I'm not a fan when they do those type of things. It's like, come on, just give us what we want, just a regular price, and have everything included. I feel you'll sell a lot more. $60, whatever, and here's all the extra DLC, extra outfits, players, and all that stuff. And no, they gotta go and make all these different tiers, like just like everybody else. All these other studios, they're all doing it. Tier systems, that's it. But I mean, hey, it's good that it's coming. I like those games, 3 and 4. I don't think we're gonna see Spider-Man in it. Maybe for the PlayStation one, but I doubt it. Because remember, Spider-Man was in it.
Who
else was it? Wolverine was in it. He was extra characters. I'm sure they'll just swap those out with somebody else, some other people.
Yeah. I have a question for Adam, but the rest of you can answer this also. What do you guys think of Doom Slayer now skating in this Tony Hawk game? Because I saw that's a bonus, I guess, if you pre-order.
He was in it before, but yeah, this is good.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's just like full circle because now it's like he's here. But that's all right. This version, I'm sure this will look good. Why not? You know, it reminds you of when I'm playing Skate and seeing the dude from Dead Space. I'm blanking on his name.
Isaac.
I remember. Isaac. Yeah, Isaac. He was in it. Yeah, and you could play as Isaac and with the outfit and everything. It was like, what the hell? But yeah, I was like, why not? Yeah, it's in the house. You own it. So.
Yeah, I don't really have any thoughts. The only Tony Hawk experience I have is a demo disc of that, and that's it. Like, I don't need how many numbered games are there? Like, how many remakes can they possibly do?
If I remember, after 4, they went real, like they the open world. I should say not real, but just an open world. They did the stuff with BAM and all that stuff was going on. They added story, and then we had Wasteland and Underground 1 and 2. There's plenty that they can do, but the thing is that they have issues. Activision had issues with BAM and that whole crew, the Jackass crew. So they even in the last one, there was a poster that was in one of the levels, and they blurred out BAM's face in it. So I don't know. I don't know if they're going to keep that up. Maybe they'll work something out. Things have changed. Years have passed. I know BAM has had his demons, but it sounds like he's on the up and up with a lot of things. So hopefully they approve it because he was a big part of that franchise when they started doing the open world and story-based stuff. And to answer your question, they could bring all of those back. And people will eat them up. People will eat it up. Yeah, but this was the classic arcade style You know, these ones, all the other ones still had that, but they focused more on story. And this wasn't about that. This was like, all right, it's a high score. It's the highest, craziest combos you can do in an airport, you know, or in downtown LA. And it was good.
That's cool. All right, so there you go. Gears of War. We'll see what happens. This dude says that it's going to get announced at Xbox Game Showcase in June. You know, used to be E3 time, you know.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So
what, a holiday drop, maybe, right? That's probably what they'll do.
That's what I'm assuming.
I keep thinking the last time we got a stealth drop of something that was great wasn't great, but it was fun. Fallout Shelter. Remember that when they announced Fallout Shelter? We're like, oh, that looks cool. And they're like, it's out now.
It's out now. Yeah.
You know, we don't really get that anymore. Now we get, within a few months or something. But
yeah. Or years. You know.
No, I don't count those. I don't want to see it. But I mean, like, for something that's like, all right, that looks fun. I want to play that. Oh, you can play it right now. Oh, okay. We don't get those surprises. That would be great if they said, we're announcing Gears Collection coming out next Tuesday on Game Pass.
Sucker free Sunday.
Right? And next year on PS5, $85.96 plus tax.
Oh, man. All right. Good stuff. So, yeah, we'll see about that again. Rumor. So keep that in mind. Another one, speaking about random stuff, Acclaim is back, people. Okay. Obviously you guys remember NBA Jam, Mortal Kombat. It did all those games and stuff, or
ACW.
Here's right here, Turok Evolution, Shadow Man. Remember Shadow Man? Second Coming.
So wait.
Yeah, what's up?
Didn't somebody else buy all of those franchises already? So what's left?
No, they're just saying, I don't know. So this is just a franchise they did make. BMX XXX. Remember that? Justice League Task Force. Yeah. I don't remember that game.
No, but I mean, like, they're saying they're back. Anything. They don't have
the
any
name.
Of
Someone
their
just bought the name and is going to use
somebody
it.
Bought Jeff the name Jarrett. Just like the way they did with like they did with the Atari. What was it?
Jeff Jarrett, Double J.
He bought
AEW.
It was Jeff Jarrett?
People.
Really?
Yeah, he's part of that group. It's like some group of people that bought it. That's why I know, because that popped up on all the wrestling sites. Jeff Jarrett bringing back Acclaim.
Yeah, they've been revived as an indie game publisher now, you know? So I guess they're going to make new games. So it's like, what's the point? It's only old guys that remember Acclaim, you know?
Well, no, I mean, it has no heft, especially if you don't have any of those franchises.
Well, that's what I'm saying, you know?
You know, like Shadow Man and all those other games that were part of that Acclaim and Valiant sort of deal. And, you know, eventually they bought them. So now everything's all split apart. So what do they got?
Yeah,
what
are nothing.
What are they going to do?
It says right here.
They can't make any of the NBA Jam games because all of that stuff was a subcontract from Midway and Williams when they were part of those guys. So it's like it's nothing.
Yeah. It says right here, it's unclear what specific franchises this new version of Acclaim has ownership over, as this initial announcement is more focused on confirming members of its new leadership team, like CEO Alex Jose. That also includes Jeff Jarrett, a Hall of Fame wrestler who worked with the old version of Acclaim on its WWF titles. It is what Jeff Jarrett said. Resurrecting Acclaim is an opportunity to impart the same degree of passion and love to a new generation, and I'm excited to be involved. That doesn't mean anything.
Well, he doesn't know anything.
They just said, Hey, Jeff, we want to make some games. Sure, I want to make some games.
He's an investor putting in. It's like when you hear about these basketball players buying Premier League teams, and I was like, wow, you bought it? Well, I own some shares in it. I'm not really the owner, you know, and that's it. Still, you're a big name, and we're going to announce that you now, you know, part of the ownership group. Same thing here.
They said, you know, obviously no new games were announced, but they said exciting news coming soon. So we'll see about that. It sounds like the Atari revival is bullshit.
At least the Atari revival, they own all of the franchises that Atari made.
Yeah.
This is nothing. This is a gutted company.
Yeah.
It's like buying the name Ultra for, you know, Ultra. All you have
Ultra Games. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, buying Ultra Games and not owning any, you know, own any of the franchises that came with that. No Metal Gear, none of that stuff. So what are you? You're not anything. You're just a nostalgic
Batman.
Thing.
Man, that was a good Batman game.
Yeah, go ahead, Rich.
So you're saying that they are only claiming to be like the originals.
Yes.
There you go.
I don't think they're going to reach any high acclaim, Rich, you know?
I'm pretty sure they were based out of Long Island.
This is part of the reason I wanted to tell this story, because Manny and I have an interesting story to tell about this. You know?
Yes. Go ahead,
Manny. Oh, what's up, Jeff?
Jeff Jarrett?
Jeffrey Wilson. Actually, he says the new Acclaim logo should feature a guitar smashing it in half.
Yeah, a bunch of powder coming out of the guitar. Anyway, so years ago, advertised in the back of was a Game Fan, there was a ad to become a game tester. Now, Acclaim actually had an office in Long Island. And both me and Tony actually applied.
And our boy Mike, too.
We found out, Mike. And we also found out yesterday that Chris also not only...
Yeah, I didn't know that.
...only applied. So for all of us, because it's like, okay, it's New York. We could probably get over. I don't think anybody got a call.
No.
But I actually did.
Uh-oh.
Which was, hey, you know, it was a very simple thing. Like, oh, hey, you know, we saw that you applied, blah, blah, blah. You know, wondering if you were interested. I'm like, yeah, I would love to come now.
We were 15 years old, by the way, just for context, we were 15 years old.
15 years old. And the other thing is that the claims offices weren't close to any sort of,
train
transit
or anything. They were.
So, yeah, you could take a Long Island Railroad over there, but how the fuck do you get to their offices? So that's part of the reason why I didn't take the job. I couldn't drive.
Yeah, because you were 15.
I was 15. So yeah. Fun little
yeah.
Thing.
By the way, Manny, I like how you said a couple of years ago, a few years ago. But you guys may have accidentally or seen me accidentally bring up the calculator app. So I'm like, I gotta see this shit. Manny, that was 30 years ago. Isn't that crazy?
Once you get to a certain age, it seems like, you know, things that are 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, it's still, if as long as you still remember it, just as fresh, right?
I remember getting something back from it. They sent it in a manila envelope
They sent you, they did send us the little packets.
Yeah, I remember getting
when you did apply, they sent you a little packet and you had to sign a bunch of paperwork. And then there was also a release for your parents to sign.
Yeah, that was it. That's right.
Well, clearly they didn't get enough testers because those games are all trash. And they went under quick. That was always a downfall. Cause I remember every time they announced the game, I'm like, this isn't going to be good. And then when they got the ECW license, I was like, what the hell is this? It was so bad. I wasn't surprised when they went under.
Yeah, no, neither was I, yeah. All right, so that was kind of fun. Now, speaking about comebacks, there's a possible comeback, but Mr. Hideki Kamiya says that he would love to make Scalebound one day. So he hasn't given up the dream. Shout out to Dio. I know he's happy about that. He's been asking Dio's always asking about Scalebound forever, you know, but very interesting that Hideki Kamiya said this considering he like blocked Phil Spencer at one point after the whole deal fell through. So, but again, Hideki fucking blocked everybody, you know? So,
I'm sure he didn't like the business that went around with that.
Yeah.
You know how Microsoft seems to just be just chop things off and just not even ask any questions. So, yeah, I would be pissed off too.
I don't blame him, you know. So he says, you know, he was watching a video about the development of the game or something. And then he said, you know, he's tweeting all his reactions because obviously this guy lives on Twitter. And he said, "Let's do it, Phil." You know, to Phil Spencer. So very interesting. We don't know if anything's going to manifest from this. My question is, does anybody besides Dio care at this point? You know,
they'll reply back.
I mean, one thing about it is that Microsoft still owns the rights, owns the franchise.
So, that's right. Yes.
Know? So if he can figure out obviously, as I remember, Kamiya's studio is more of a smaller middle A sort of type of studio. And with about 100 people or, you know, so who knows? I mean, it'd be interesting.
I'm reading. So they were just watching. It looked like it must have been an internal video about the early, yeah, it was like an internal video about the early development or something like that of the game. And then he's just he took to Twitter to reminisce, you know, about the development of Scalebound. Kind of interesting. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
And he didn't go into any real detail as to what the fuck happened.
No, he didn't tweet about that. No, he didn't tweet about that. But he says it hasn't left his mind yet. Yeah.
Okay.
He said, he
still has a plan.
Yeah, he says he's still thinking about it. And so this is what he said. He goes, Phil, let's do it. No, it's not a joke. I'm totally serious about it.
I miss that money.
Yeah,
I mean, this about the money that I lost.
He needs more investments at his little studio.
Yeah,
you know, like right now, like they're developing Okami. You know,
yeah,
too. But I mean, I think he's gonna still need some line up some other things to keep the studio alive. So hopefully that they're small enough to they're small enough to where, you know, their investments don't kill them, you know.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. All right, and the last thing I want to talk about, I kind of don't care too much about this, but it's interesting. I'm wondering if Riku's going to sign for this, but PlayStation's going to start a new beta program. But they've had these before, but it seems they're doing it again. Manny, I don't know if you've seen anything on this.
The beta program was a part of fucking PlayStation Plus.
You know? What
the fuck, man? Like, it's like and the thing about it is that they take these things away and nobody fucking bats an eye, or they don't even do anything with it.
Yeah. So I don't see how this is different than what they've done before.
It's the same. It's, yeah, it's the toe dip.
Carlos, I hope you got that. I hope you got that. But so it says, and it's starting now, free to join. And you just, you know, play test their games and or whatever. Like, remember they used to do, like, you used to check out the firmware update before it went live and stuff.
Yeah,
so there'll be things like that.
But that's like a select list. They sort of pick people at random.
Yeah.
Xbox has an app on the console that you can join in on that and start getting instant.
Years ago, the PlayStation Underground was a part of that too. You signed up for the PlayStation Underground. I even have a signed certificate from Andrew House.
Oh shit, your boy.
Yeah, from Andrew House. So welcome to the PlayStation Underground testing program. You'll receive blah 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 blah. Never got anything.
Your life will change forever.
And they gave you like a little cool like CD holder, like a, you know, game holder, and you can stick all your memory cards inside of it. It was a cool little pack they sent me.
Yeah.
So I signed up for something similar to this years ago. So
yeah, no,
so going back to testing.
Yeah, no, again, they've been doing this for a while. So this is what they say here about the new program, quote unquote, new program. It's an easier, more consolidated way for gamers to sign up to participate in future PlayStation betas across a wide range of PlayStation experiences. So here's more detail. The beta program at PlayStation will create an easy, centralized place for you to register your interest in a range of future PlayStation betas. A single registration for beta program at PlayStation will allow you to express interest in gaining beta access to test participating games for the PS5 console and PC, new PS5 console features, PlayStation app features, and even user experiences featured on PlayStation.com. You only need to sign up once to express interest in these various betas, and if you receive an invitation to a specific beta, it's up to you to decide whether you'd like to participate or not. Interesting. So I guess they're just consolidating all their various beta programs into one, and you get to decide, hey, I want to test out the firmware. Hey, I want to test out this PC port.
The whole process is a beta.
Yeah, pretty much. Interesting. But yeah, it's live now. You know, if you want to register, registration is free, you know, and that's going to kind of do it for us. The question I had was, and I guess you could give us a better detail of it later, Adam. You said you started playing the new,
split fiction. Yeah. I'll talk about it if someone has questions on Sunday, because I'm going to be playing it. Yeah, they sent it the day it launched, so it wasn't early, and myself and Rich, we got it so we can try it together because it's, you know, co-op. They did the Way Out and stuff. That's, and we had fun with
it
that
takes
one.
Two.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, It Takes Two. My kids beat that one. They loved it. So looking forward to that. But then we also, you know, got other games that we're going to cover. But yeah, definitely that one.
Yeah.
So I'll be able to talk about it on Sunday.
All I could say about the game is because we reviewed it for Tom's Guide. I edited the review. It's, I don't know what other reviewers are saying, but our reviewer, Mr. Rory Mellon, he said that he thought the gameplay was phenomenal. Like, he was like, this is some of the most imaginative stuff. But he said the story and the characters were bad. Like, they were, he says, for two characters that are writers, they had, like, they're very unimaginative, you know, their works. But he says the actual gameplay, even though their worlds are very generic sci-fi and fantasy, he says the actual mechanics are great. And that's, I think, I believe he gave it a 4 because I was like, yo, this kind of reads like a 3. But then I saw what he said about the mechanics. So it seems like story is not good. But, you know, the co-op and all that he says is great, you know.
That's crazy because their strength is the story. Like that whole, no way. I was going through the whole prison system and you can have multiple endings. And then It Takes Two, dealing with a divorce and the kids. Well, no. Well, I mean, yeah, you got to have something with this one. But it's got to be good. This has to be good. I don't believe this. I do not.
That's his opinion because he did say that he believes this is his opinion about the studio. He says that he loves the games, you know, the gameplay, but he says they need to get better writers because he doesn't like any other stories.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, I
love that story, Rich. That was a deep, sad story, A Way Out with prison.
There's no way. I mean, I'm surprised anyone would complain about that story, especially with the twist at the end of that.
He doesn't like the writing of the stories. I think that's what it really is, you know? He says the writing isn't good. But he is a dedicated, like, movie/TV show critic. So maybe, you know, those people are kind of nitpicky sometimes. But he likes the gameplay. He says the gameplay's awesome, you know? If anybody wants to ask Adam about Split Fiction, ask us, you know. All right, so that's going to do it for us. Let's plug some stuff. Rich, what is going on with the Coalition this weekend?
Okay, well, first and foremost, we have the Return of the Invincible podcast.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, you know? That's right. Episode 7. And I heard there's a lot of stuff that happens in the next 2 episodes. So looking forward to doing that with Tony, Dana, Carlos, and possibly Chris.
Yes.
So look for that. I'm going to also allow Adam some time to talk about the Reacher podcast because he just released a new episode today, currently on the website, on Spotify, on YouTube, on every platform out there from what I understand. So, yeah, we'll give Adam his chance to talk about that. Myself, Dana, and Gary, we will be recording our next episode of the Power Podcast. That actually returns tomorrow. So that will be on the website. It'll be on the YouTube. Stay tuned. And as for the gaming stuff, because we know this is what you guys care about, the gaming. You know, that's the main thing of this audience here. Yeah. As Adam already mentioned, we are going to try out, Split Fiction. We'll probably have something to say about that. I also can say that we both have WWE 2K25. So we will talk about that. And one other thing I can say is that I received a game today, something mentioning Shadows. So I will be talking about that in the future. But I can at least say that I have the game. I mean, that was very clear. So I can't wait to see what that's about. Myself and Gary will be talking about that in the future. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a very honest opinion, thoughts. So should be fun.
Yeah, and I'm going to just toss this out there, Rich. I may possibly join you on that podcast. You know, because I may or may not have secured a code. So we will talk. But Rich, to quote you, we will talk about that, you know?
Okay.
Oh, man. exactly. That's right, Tony. Mm. Yeah, good stuff, man. Manny, anything you want to? Yeah, do it now while the camera's still good.
Uh-oh. Oh, you're muted.
You're muted, a foot.
So yes, it's out in the field right now. It's Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 7. It is a part of a 4-part cover series, the cover series of by Kari Randolph and myself. I'll continue to advertise until it is in until it is the end of March. But at the end of this month, on the 26th, we will also have a cover for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Naruto, which has already been revealed.
Nice. All right, we got about three good seconds out of that.
I like how the quality went when he unmuted himself.
Yeah, that's when it got bad. Yeah, it was only good when you were muted, ironically.
What?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. All right, man. I think anything else we need to plug? I think we got everything.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
Adam, go ahead.
He talked about it. But yeah, yeah. The latest episode 5 of Amazon Prime show Reacher, Talking Reacher, that we cover, myself and Lawrence from A Punk with Toys. And it's great. The body count's rising. The crazy deaths are rising. Seeing Reacher flip over a car by himself is crazy enough to see. This show doesn't disappoint. It's such a great show. I'm glad. I hope they keep making all the Lee Child novels into TV shows. So, yeah, go ahead. That's out. So, enjoy. It's called SmackDown, which is funny.
There you go. As Rich already mentioned, yes, Invincible Podcast. I'm really looking forward to this episode. I've already, people already talking about it. This is a thing. I've been waiting to talk about this specific thing since we started this fucking podcast, bro. So it's going to be crazy. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to spoil it, but this specific episode, I've been waiting for this since we started watching this on episode 1. I'm like, let's fucking go. So get ready, man. It's going to be good. Tony, what's up?
Should I watch this tonight? Because in case it gets spoiled or something, I don't know how.
My question is, have you ever had Invincible spoiled for you?
No.
By Twitter. So you should be good.
Oh, yeah. I'm not on Twitter that much anymore anyway. So
okay. You're fine.
Yeah, like if also, it's like a YouTube thumbnail or something like that, you know how that's
you may,
yeah.
You may not want to look at my Twitter.
Don't look at Manny's. I will say to that end. Oh, go ahead, Manny. Yeah.
Yeah. Just remember, I did work for Skybound.
Yeah. So Manny's spoiling stuff.
I am spoiling stuff.
Couldn't wait until the weekend, motherfucker.
The synopsis.
I will say this though, unrelated but also related, Carlos. I've seen plenty of thumbnails that spoil Daredevil. they killed him. Okay, they killed this character. Okay,
that upset me.
But we're not gonna get into it. We're just gonna get into it. But so, Carlos, stay away from Twitter if you care about Daredevil. YouTube and Twitter, I guess we care about Daredevil, but I don't. like the Netflix show. That's all I needed, bro. Anyway, we're done here, so make sure if I'll throw down on Twitch and Twitter, subscribe to us on YouTube, join a Discord, and follow us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
And for the hell of it, Carlos Chris Seeley.
The tea leaves were like slapping you in the face.
Adam Vail.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Brett Murdoch.
Big fucking deal.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
I'm having deja vu. The Germans want to build an army across Europe.
Uh-oh. We'll see what happens with that. Deja
vu, how old are you?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, before we leave, I also forgot to plug it. Monster Hunter, baby. We are going to be doing more epic live streams. Last week, we did nearly 2 6-hour-long streams. We're going to do that again. And hopefully, Manny will join us this time. It'll be good times.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. So yeah, join us for our streams starting Friday at around 8 p.m. Eastern. Same thing with Saturday night. So it'll be good times, people. Good times. Anyway, we will see you on the next episode later.
Batman, motherfucker.